Aren't you glad that when you come to the Bible, you can trust it being the same? You know, in a world where everything seems to be so complicated, it's nice to come to a place where, come to something like the Scriptures that we can always count on. Now take your Bible this afternoon very quickly and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 1. The Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. You notice all of those end in an S. Not just a prayer, multiple prayers. Not just a little intercession, multiple. Not just giving thanks once, giving thanks continual. Be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I want you to notice especially in verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And that's what I speak about for just a few minutes this afternoon, in due time. Father, I pray that you bless us, and as this year just begins and starts to unfold, we pray that you'd help us as we continue to examine different aspects of time to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, as we endeavor in this year to invest ourselves into spiritual endeavors so that people would be saved and your will be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. So bless this afternoon, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes. That's what what 1 year has to bring. If somebody lives 70 years of age, the average person will spend 20 years sleeping, 20 years working, 6 years eating, 7 years playing, 5 years getting dressed, 2.9 years in church. And that's if they come to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And here's what I'm trying to get at. How do we handle time? And what does it mean when the Bible says, in due time? In due time. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It means almost the same thing that the phrase, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. That God has a prescribed time for things. Here's the problem. I taught in Sunday school this morning, as we're teaching through the model prayer, and we're going to bring that into the auditorium starting on next week. This morning, I taught about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You got to understand that there's two aspects about God's will that we need to think about. One is God's decreed will, and the other is God's desired will. And what I mean by that is God's decreed will cannot change. When God decrees it, and I showed them many verses on the subject, it can't change. For instance, there's one way of salvation. Praying about that all day long is not going to change it. God created the earth, and this is the way he did it. It cannot be changed. When God decrees something, it changes not. So when the model prayer was given for us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, was Jesus teaching the disciples to pray to God to change his decreed will? No, that's ridiculous, because it can't be changed. But he was telling us to pray for God's desired will to be done. And it wasn't that God's desired will would be changed, but that we would change our desires to conform to his desired will. For instance, we know it's God's will for everybody to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if it's God's will, God is not willing that any should perish. So if it's God's will for everybody to be saved, then everybody's going to be saved, right? But it's God's will. So if it's God's will, doesn't God's will always get done? No, God's decreed will always gets done. God's desired will does not always get done. God's desired will is subject to your desire. He desires you to be saved, but you have to desire to be saved for God's desired will to be accomplished. He desires for saved people to live holy. But if you don't desire to live holy, then God's desired will is not accomplished. When Jesus taught them to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," he was saying, I want you to pray submitting yourself to God's will and saying, God, we want our desires to conform to you so that you can do your will, your desired will, what you desire to do for us. Remember when Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her brood or gathereth her chicks, but ye would not. Jesus said, I desired Israel to come to me and be saved, but they wouldn't. So God's desire wasn't fulfilled because that desire, God's will, God's desired will is subject to man's free will. And so we must submit or resign our free will so that God's desired will can be accomplished. So what are you saying? I'm saying that God desires to do things in your life this year. This may be the due time for whatever in your life. If you're not saved, we know it's the time for you to be saved. It's due time for you to come to Christ. We know that if you're not where God wants you spiritually, God's will is for that to be accomplished. But you're going to have to yield to it. You're going to have to submit to it. You're going to have to want God's desire to be done more than your desire. And see, that's the problem. The problem is, you know, when the scriptures talk about the immature Christian, you know, when it was time that they should have been teachers, they desired or needed one to teach them. When they needed to be eating strong meat, they still needed the milk. Remember all those texts? All those texts show us a picture of a Christian who is immature. What is immaturity? Immaturity is when I want my will and nothing else matters. My little grandson, James, comes home from the hospital as a baby, and he just turned one on the 20th. I don't know. It was right before Christmas. Thank you. 17th of December. Okay? So he's just 1 year old. When he desires to be fed, he doesn't care if his mama's sleeping. He doesn't care if the whole world's sleeping. If he desires to be changed, if he desires attention, if he desires whatever, he is a baby, he doesn't care. All he thinks about is him. What he desires, and he wants his way. And everybody else can go pound salt, you know? Sad reality is there's a lot of adults the same way. A mature Christian gets to a place where they say, I'm willing to sacrifice my will for God's will. My desires for God's desires. It's not about what I desire, it's about what he desires. What does he want? And when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying, God, I want to resign myself to your will. I'm going to give up my desires for your desires. I want to submit to your will being done. And the problem is we waste so much time struggling in life, trying like immature little babies to get our own way, that the desired will of God doesn't get accomplished in our lives. When if we yield to it, and by the way, it's not like you yield to it one day and you're good to go for, you know, the next 55 years. Okay? It's a struggle every day because of this flesh. This flesh cries out, it wants stuff. You know, I don't eat on Sundays till after I preach. That's why this service is always hard for me, too. It's not enough time for me to, you know, digest and whatever else. And it was kind of funny. A bunch of different folks here, Mike and them, the bus workers, we get together and we kind of all eat together. So today we decided we were all going to have pizza from Angie's. Yesterday we called and ordered two of these big half-sheet pizzas so that everybody could have pizza. Called and ordered it yesterday. The girl on the phone yesterday didn't tell us they were closed today. She actually took the order for the pizza. My wife went to get the pizza, and they weren't open. So we had to go plan B. So they ran over. I don't know if they ran to the meat market over there I know they had, it was good chicken and some kind of pasta salad or whatever, but it was late. So it was like quarter after one, and Brother John Lehman comes in, and he likes to sit in fellowship and talk with me. That's polite. When I'm talking to him, I say he likes to come in and annoy me. And I'm trying to wolf down my food, turn my Bible to the next text, look over the next notes, and be engaged with conversation about church matters with one of our deacons. And I'm like, I'm thinking, this is kind of funny. The whole thing's funny. At some point, you know, you either get mad or you get fun or you laugh. And it's like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this is like a great kickoff to a year. You know, we have somebody die, we have weird things happen, we got a bus out of gas, we got places that are closed, we got this, we got that. All I needed was the charismatic to stand up and dance around singing in tongues, and we'd have had a great day. It's not over yet. There's still a chance if one of you feels led of the Spirit. But anyway, but at some point you lay all that aside and you say, wow, you know, can you really get sidetracked? You know how easy it is to let little things sidetrack you in life? Little things can absolutely devastate you and sidetrack you. And you have to just say, I'm not trying to say somebody, you know, dying is a little thing, but not to be unkind, but a lot of people died today. We only got to talk to be involved in a situation with one of them, but thousands of people died today. Okay, thousands of vehicles broke down. All this happened to people all over the country. Okay, but we can be so sidetracked and waste so much time, our precious commodity, and allow things to make us bitter or angry or resistant to the will of God. So in due time, and by the way, did you ever hear your parents or your grandparents say to you, you ask for something and they say, in due time? In due time. It means I'm going to get to it when I get to it. Okay. Let's talk about a few things real fast. In due time, salvation will be revealed. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I'm so glad that when the time was perfect, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He came at the right time. All the Old Testament saints wanted him to come, And they say, God, when's the Messiah coming? God would say, in due time. But due time came. It came. It's already come. And he came and died for us. So, how do we apply that into this new year and for us? Well, he came in due time. Now, if you're not saved, you need to trust Christ. And if you are saved, then this whole text exhorts you. By the matter of fact, all eight verses are in the context of one subject, praying for the lost. Let's make 2017 the year where we get serious about reaching our friends and family for Christ. Let's get a prayer list together of your loved ones and pray for them to be saved this year. Let's witness to them. Let's send them tracts. Let's write letters of love explaining the gospel to them so that they can be saved. Let's make 2017 the year where we get serious, because I got news for you. Somebody else is going to die this year. Somebody else is going to die. Might be somebody we know. Might be somebody we don't know. But heaven and hell will be extremely real to them at that moment. And we need to get serious about getting them the gospel. In due time, salvation will be revealed. That's why we should be praying for the lost. Verse 7 here explains that that's why we should be preaching the gospel. You know, when the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, it's not just for preachers, it's for all of us. To preach means to tell forth the good news. And everybody in here is a preacher in that respect. You may not be a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, but we're all called to preach. Give the good news. Give it forth. Doesn't mean you have to be condemning. Do it in love. Some you're going to save with love. Others with fear. That's a necessary aspect as well. But let's make this a year where we pray for the lost, where we preach the gospel to the lost, and where we prepare as best we can for his coming, because we know he will come again in due time. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What was he talking about? Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I got news for you. 2017 marks the fact that we are closer to being with the Lord than we were last year. We are closer to the rapture. We are closer to a glorified body. We are closer to the rapture of the church, the tribulation period on the earth, the millennial kingdom. We're closer to eternity future, which also means we're closer to the great white throne judgment. And some people are closer to the lake of fire. We're all getting closer to it. We're getting closer to it because time is moving in that direction. In due time, salvation or the lack of it will be revealed. Let's get serious about praying and preaching and preparing for his coming. In due time, accomplishments will be rewarded. 1 Peter chapter 5, the whole text is about this subject when it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I understand the context, and I understand there is a direction first given to pastors, shepherds of flocks, and then given to younger as well, those that are part of the flock. But I want you to understand this. In its context, it's talking about all of this is in view of the fact that the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, shall appear, and we will receive crowns of glory that fadeth not away. It's all in the context of rewards. In due time, accomplishments or the lack thereof will be revealed. John R. Rice, I believe it was, years ago, wrote a song called Empty Handed, or Must I Go in Empty Handed, I think is the whole title of the song. And the idea of the song is that we would go in to meet our Savior empty handed, with nothing. And the reason is that everything we have worked for, everything we've done is of such a base nature that it burns up. It's wood, hay, and stubble, and there's nothing of an eternal value left. So what are you saying? I'm saying it's due time that we understood to invest ourselves in spiritual things because the time will come when all these things will be revealed. There's no doubt in my mind that there will be people we will think that will have all these rewards and be entering into heaven and laying all these crowns at Jesus' feet, and yet that person may not, in fact, have much. And then there's somebody, some widow woman somewhere that nobody knows anything about, and she's going to be the one that has all these rewards that we have no knowledge of. We have no knowledge of it, and we don't realize that. But I'm saying this. There's a time coming, and we're a little bit closer to it. We're a little bit close to the time when we're going to meet Christ, and that's a wonderful thing, but also it's a time when all of our works will be revealed of what sort they are. They'll be tried with fire. Some things will burn as wood, hay, and stubble, and we will suffer loss. And then those other things that remain, we will have to bring glory and lay at his feet. I want you to understand that we should not be discouraged and allow the difficulties and struggles and problems of life to keep us from laying up for ourselves those most important rewards. In due time, salvation will be revealed. In due time, accomplishments will be rewarded. And then lastly, in due time, wickedness will be recompensed. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 32 through 36 says this. "For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me, and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord will judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and that there is none shut up or left." I want you to understand that constantly in the Old Testament, the children of God and the people of God We're wondering, when are you going to punish all these wicked nations and all these wicked people? When is it happening? And God kept saying to them, don't worry about it, in due time. In due time, wickedness is going to be punished. Now listen, we can get ourselves all torn up about the fact that we have such a big problem in our country, whether it's a problem of drugs, whether it's a problem of alcohol, whether it's a problem of pornography, whatever the problem happens to be, there's all kinds of problems here. We can talk about all the same-sex marriages and all this weird stuff that's going on. We can talk about abortion. We can talk about all these problems and frustrate ourselves. But I'm here to tell you something this afternoon. In due time, God will punish every wicked deed, every wicked act in due time will be judged. Now, thanks be to God, if you're saved, your wickedness is under the blood. Aren't you happy about that? But without Christ, all of those wicked deeds will be judged. The Bible says in when the book of life was opened, it says that whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. But before that, it says, and the other books were opened. So when the book of life is opened, let's say we have two guys down here. We have, you know, we have David and Damien. I'm doing that so I can remember which one's the bad one. David, we open the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, and there it is. David, his name's here. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Damien. Don't ever name your kid Damien. It means devil. It means demon. Damien. You're not in the book of life. We open the other books. What are these books? These are all of his deeds. And he's going to be judged according to all of those things. And I got news for you. If any of us has to be judged on our deeds, the wickedness of our heart is only wicked continually, and all of those things are going to be judged. Even our righteousness is as filthy rags. None of us can stand up to that. You know, I run into people all the time and say, well, I think when you die, there's just this big balance scale, and they put your good deeds on one side, your bad deeds on the other. And if your good outweighs your bad, you go straight to heaven. If your bad outweighs your good, maybe you go to purgatory, and your family prays to get those things purged. When they purge enough of those bad things, hopefully the scale gets tilted and you get to go to heaven. And I say, you know what, you got that. Here's what I always say. I say, you know what, you got that almost right. You got that almost right. All of your wickedness is going to be put on one side and all of your righteousness on the other. And guess what? If your righteousness can outweigh your wickedness, you'll get to heaven. But I got bad news, real bad news. Even your righteousness is as filthy rags. That means everything you want to put on this side is bad. So there is no righteousness you have on your own. What you need is someone to come and balance the scale for you. You need the righteousness of Christ to be put on that scale for you. You need him to come and put the butcher's thumb, they used to call it, you know. The butcher cheats you by putting his thumb on the scale. You need God to put his thumb on the scale. His righteousness needs to be put on your account so that you can be redeemed. Without that, none of us have hope. I said, you're exactly right. If we could balance the scale, we could get to heaven. But you can't. That's the problem. You can't balance the scale. There's nothing you can do to balance it. The only thing you can do is take the righteousness of Christ on you. And when that happens, your sin is imputed, put on his account, and his righteousness is imputed or put on your account. And guess what happens? There's only righteousness on the scale. There is no wickedness. And you will go to heaven. But right now, my friend, if you die without the righteousness of Christ, the scale is tipped against you. And there is no purgatory in here. There is no way for someone to pay for an indulgence or light a candle or pray a prayer to take any of that sin off your account. There is one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. So we get frustrated sometimes, though. The Old Testament saints, you say, why does it seem the wicked prosper? God said, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. In due time. You may seem to be suffering for this short life you live here on the earth, but you, like Lazarus, the beggar Lazarus of old, will enter into the joy of the Lord for all eternity, whereas the rich man will die. And in hell, lift up his eyes, being in torment. You got to understand, you should look at lost people that are doing well, and instead of being envious and jealous, you should think, man, you better live it up now. This is the closest thing to heaven you're ever going to know. Can I tell you something? Do you realize if you're saved, this is the closest thing to hell you're ever going to know? This is as bad as it ever gets for you in life. What I find amusing about that is I feel blessed. I don't feel like I have it that bad. I feel like I got it pretty good. And if this is as bad as it gets, and it only gets better, man, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I'm doing a Snoopy dance. Why? Because I like this, and what's coming is so much better. But my lost friends, oh, they might have better houses, better cars, more money. They might take nicer vacations. But this is the closest thing to heaven they ever get. What's left for them for all eternity is hell. And every wicked nation and every wicked act and every abortionist's knife and every drug addict's needle and every pornographer that produces all this smut that's destroying the minds of our young people and all of these wicked politicians that are lying through their teeth to accomplish wicked deeds and wicked ends and all of these nations that proclaim all kinds of outrageous, ridiculous things, which means like the whole UN, by the way, all of that stuff, guess what? God's going to punish it. God's going to punish it. You say when? In due time. In due time. I want you to understand that salvation in due time will be revealed. That our rewards and accomplishments will be revealed in due time. And wickedness will be recompensed in due time. That's why Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16 tells us to redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. The days are evil. Evil is trying to steal our days. So we need to redeem them. Give them back to the person who made them. Bring them back to God. Colossians 4, 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let's make this year a year we spend and invest time wisely, praying and preaching to our lost friends, relatives, and acquaintances for them to be saved. Let's understand the reward or loss of reward is right around the corner, so let's live for Jesus. And let's not be frustrated by the wickedness of our world, because in due time, God will bring it all into judgment. Look, he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God is going to get his pound of flesh, as it were, for all the wickedness that has been done. He has saved in the vials in heaven. Read about them. The tear bottles. He has saved the tears of all of his saints and martyrs for all the years. And those are the bottles, by the way. The figurativeness is that he's pouring out the vials in the book of Revelation. All the tears and sorrow of his children for all the ages, he's been collecting in tear bottles, and he's going to pour out those things in judgment upon our earth and the nations that are against God. He's going to judge them in due time. We shouldn't be that excited about it. We should be sorrowful for them because of all their suffering that they will go through, when in fact, we can make a difference in somebody's life this year by praying for them and preaching the gospel to them so that they could be saved. Let's make this year the year of salvation for somebody, and let's make it the year we invest ourselves in the lives of others, because salvation is nearer now than it has ever been, ever been. Christ's coming is nearer now than it's ever been, and the sad reality is hell is nearer now for somebody than it's ever been. Old radio preacher used to always pray, dear God, please save that soul that is closest to hell today. I used to think about that as a teenager when I'd hear that and think, I wonder who that is. Could it be somebody I've seen or met? You know, it was just a couple weeks ago when the fellows were taking bus tests that my wife and I visited that bus route. I was at that house. I don't know that I ever met that man. Was he in there? Could I have had a chance to talk to him? I didn't know how close he was to heaven or hell. I had no idea. I was at that very door. And he's dead today. Does he know Christ? I hope so. I don't know. Was there an opportunity missed? Let's not miss any more opportunities in 2017. Let's give it our all and make this a year that due time was invested and spent wisely. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, I pray that you bless us and help us this year in 2017. Help us to pray and preach to our lost friends and loved ones and acquaintances so that salvation might be a reality for them and we'd understand the true joy of watching newborn spiritual babes coming into your family. And then I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to invest our time wisely as Christians so that we would be people that were able to come in with rewards and crowns and lay at your feet one day, understanding we're one day closer to that time. And help us not to be weary in well-doing, understanding that we will reap if we faint not, but understanding also that wickedness will be judged one day and that all of these things will be taken care of. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to redeem the time because the days are evil. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The Holy Spirit of God speaking in your heart. Maybe you should come on this, the first day of the year, and do something about it at an old-fashioned altar. If you need some help, or maybe the truth is you're really not saved, you've been living a lie and playing a game, why don't you come and we'll have somebody sit down with the Bible and show you how to be saved this afternoon. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You obey the Holy Spirit and come while he directs as the music plays.